0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Partick Thistle's board, bar one member, all stepped down after recent fan protests. Rangers confirmed Douglas Park did get enough votes to remain as their chairman despite opposition from Dave King and Club 1872. And it's back to Paisley for St Mirren's Keanu Backus after surreal Lionel Messi experience. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
Well, they've always said Fair Hill for thrills, but I don't think that's what they had in mind, really. And Rangers fans, are you buying that some deals are just unattainable? Apparently that's a reference to Ryan Kent and to Alfredo Morelos, so looking forward to some interesting conversations on that matter. And Lionel Messi, it's Messigate. Why give your strip away in the first place?
And I have to say, if you're tuning in thinking, oh, what's happening here? I heard Jim Duffy on this show on Monday. Mm-hmm. Simon Donnelly's been struck down,
oh,
Hugh Keevans.
No.
He failed a late fitness test, and the most reliable guy in Scottish football, Mary Hillman, they need to call him. He's like a super, like the world's worst superhero.
Well,
but he turns up when you need him the most.
They tell me that Simon Donnelly's feeling rougher than a Hearts friendly.
Well, listen, yeah. Before we get into that, Jim Duffy, we thank you for answering our plea, and it's good to have you.
Yeah, so well, I would never say I was a superhero. I'm certainly not wearing my pants outside my trousers, that's for sure. But yeah, I've got a number 12 jersey in my back here when the Callum producer gives a call, so I don't mind being a late sub for Simon. Yeah, looking forward to the programme. And Gordon, as you mentioned there, Rangers had their AGM, spoke about it on Monday. Seemed a little bit calmer than it may well have been before the appointment of Michael Beale. Obviously still a few things to get resolved, and particularly I think the contractual situations with Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent. So no doubt the Rangers fans will have a views on that this evening.
Come on then, 01419511025. Pick up the phone and let us know what is on your mind. As we've been doing all week, every caller who gets through to make a point to the guys tonight goes into the hat to win a pair of tickets for a tribute night to the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row. It's at the Armadillo in May next year. Lots of special guests from that team will be in attendance, and it's really simple. All you need to do, it's like a win-win. You get to come on and make your point to Jim and Hugh anyway, and you go in the hat for a pair of tickets. And I keep saying the same thing every night. I know this is a divided footballing city. It's the divided footballing city. If you're a Celtic fan, you'll love to go along to that. And if you're not, you'll know someone who is, and you'll be extremely popular this Christmas. So maybe that'll give you a wee nudge to get in touch with the guys tonight. 01419511025. You'll remember that era well, Hugh.
I was with Wim Jansen's assistant this afternoon, Murdo McLeod.
I was going to say, I felt like that was a good moment to bring it up because I read your piece in the paper on Sunday. How is Murdo? Is he doing well?
He's continuing the fight, and he's doing well, and he's getting stronger with every passing day. And of course, it is of paramount importance to Murdo that he is there on that night at the Armadillo next May. He and Vim were exceptionally close, and Vim sadly no longer with us. Murdo wants to be there.
For anyone who didn't catch the piece in the paper, maybe a quick sort of update on what's been happening with Murdo in recent times.
Murdo spent 106 days in hospital, astonishing, and many of those days on a ventilator. So he has had a brush with death, and there is no denying that. But he is out now, and he has had two problems with his heart spread over the last 12 years. But Murdo, as a player, was renowned for his determination and his absolute refusal to give in. And believe me, it's the same now.
Yeah, well, we wish him well. He's a gentleman, been on this show many times, so hopefully on the road to recovery. But as we said, this, if you pick up the phone tonight, get on to make a point to the guys, you get in the hat for a pair of those tickets. So 01419511025. I must admit, I was doing all right. I feel like we were plugging our way through the international break here, the World Cup break. But all of a sudden, Jim Duffy, there's no Premiership football and no World Cup football. We're at that really annoying stage of the World Cup.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was actually speaking to my son tonight, and he was travelling back through to Edinburgh on his way home, and we're saying, what are we going to do tonight? You know, we're going to talk about, you know, there's no games
incredible.
On. We've just been that accustomed to it over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, listen, everyone's got their opinion on it. But in terms of, if you're a football lover, it's been terrific. And obviously the last couple of games, particularly, with Brazil playing so well and then Portugal playing so well, you know, whetted the appetite for the quarterfinals coming up at the weekend. huge game. So yeah, I mean, they're still, you know, it teases you a little bit for the next couple of days, Gordon, but domestically, I'm sure there's still a lot to discuss. You know, Celtic are still looking at potential signing targets. It'll be interesting to see where Ange Postecoglou goes there in January. And also the fact is that, you know, that there seems to be, like, you know, every time there's a window, you know, Celtic seem to sign with at least two or three players all the time. So they must have a real, real healthy budget, should we say. You know, I understand they want to be competitive, but, you know, you can't just continually sign players without moving some players out.
Well, fear not, this time next week we'll be in full match day minus one, as they call it, mode ahead of Rangers against Hibs. 1 week to go, and we'll be building up to that one, as of course next Thursday. So 01419511025, come on down. Why not make a point to the guys, whether it is about signings, whether it is about something that's caught your eye during the break. Partick Thistle fans, I feel like this would be a very, very relevant night for you to get in touch. That's a massive change at your club today. Partick Thistle chair Jackie Lowe and every single member apart from one of the club's board of directors have resigned after all these recent fan protests. This seems like a massive deal, so why not pick up the phone, Partick Thistle fans, and get in touch. 01419511025.
Effectively then, this one person who did not resign is running the club until this matter is resolved. I don't quite understand where this story has gone now. Somebody from Partick Thistle or a fan can enlighten us.
Yeah, Partick Thistle fans will phone and put you right, I'm absolutely certain. Of course, they're hoping to move towards a better version, a different version of fan ownership. That was certainly a lot of the gripes that the Partick Thistle fans have been having. But anyway, 01419511025. Come on, put your point across to Jim Duffy or Hugh Keevans. Let's kick things off with Jerry, who is a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Jerry? Are you well?
I'm good, Gordon. I hope it's good to hear Jim on the show as well. Hope you're doing well, Jim, after everything's going on with you.
And no, I'm good, Jerry.
Thanks a lot. I'd like to extend my best wishes to Frank McGarvey and his family, especially over the Christmas time. Hope that, as I say, you can't say much more than just hope you get well.
Yeah, well said.
Thanks a lot, mate. So, Gordon, I'd like to come on and talk about David Brent, if that's okay.
Go on then. You've interested me already.
I get confused. I get them mixed up. It's Mr. Michael Beale. I get them both mixed up that easily. You know how the media have been talking about he's the brains of the operation of winning one trophy in nine, one trophy in 3 years in front of zero fans? Is he also the brains that couldn't beat St Mirren and St Johnstone in the Scottish Cup and the League Cup, lost a League Cup final to Celtic? Because when Ange Postecoglou came to Celtic, he was derided and demeaned by the media and a lot of Celtic fans, to be fair, despite the fact that he won league titles in Australia and Japan, he managed his country at a World Cup. Whereas Mr. Beale, he's never been a manager longer than 5 minutes at QPR, walked out in them, talks about loyalty. Can't really talk about loyalty when you do that. So I'm just curious, why are the media talking about how great of a coach this guy is when he doesn't have any kind of managerial record to actually suggest that he will be a success? Whereas Ange Postecoglou, as I say, was ridiculed and demeaned almost from the minute he was announced as Celtic manager.
I think from a media perspective, other people have been quoted as saying how good a coach he is. People who were at QPR or have worked with him elsewhere. No one in the media, to my knowledge, has actually said that they believe him to be a great coach.
Because they'll never have been coached by him.
Correct.
Presumably.
It's other people who have been coached by him and who have worked with him who have said this. It is without dispute that he and Steven Gerrard lost to St Mirren and to St Johnstone in the same season in cup competition. The reference to the brains behind the operation, I think, is what happened to Steven Gerrard when Michael Beale was no longer by his side, causing people to reflect on the stopping of 10 in a row by Steven Gerrard and Michael Beale, and bringing them to the conclusion that he was the brains behind the operation. But the media are not gathering behind Michael Beale and waving pom-poms and saying what a great coach he is. They're taking the comments from other people who have worked with him, Jerry.
You cannot be serious to quote John McEnroe. You're telling me the media have been bigging this guy up over the past few weeks. Kenny Miller on your show has
But that's the point, Jerry. I think what Hugh's just trying to draw, and by the way, maybe it's semantics, Hugh's just trying to draw that line. The people who are saying that he's a good coach are the guys who've worked with him. Hugh Keevans can't really stand and say he's a good coach, because this might surprise you, Jerry. Hugh's never been put through a possession drill at Murray Park. So when Kenny's on here, I get it. You hear that and you think of us as being the media, that sort of all-encompassing term that covers everything. But the people who are praising his coaching are just the people that have worked with him. Is there not a subtle difference?
Well, sorry, I'm not trying to be cheeky, Gordon, here, but Kenny Miller hasn't worked with Michael Beale. I know he's a footballer, a former footballer, but he's never actually been coached by him.
But he probably knows players who have, Jerry. But, you know, he's got connections within the Rangers, ex-players, players that he knows. So if you're asking your whether it be, you know, say former teammates, but, you know, guys within the club, what like was Michael Beale, and they all say, oh, he's a really good coach and all that kind of stuff, then, you know, that's the information that's going to come out. What I don't get is, as a Celtic fan, and how successful Ange Postecoglou has been, why would it bother you?
I just find it funny, Jim, the fact that the media are bigging this guy up. Well, what bothers me is how Ange Postecoglou was treated when he came to Scotland. He was completely ridiculed and demeaned by the so-called media experts.
And the Celtic fans, yeah, Jerry, as well.
Gordon, I said that at the start of the call. Mm-hmm. A lot of Celtic fans did that, out of ignorance.
Is this not better for you, Jerry? Look, as everyone I think knows, and Hugh always reminds me, I wasn't brought up in the sort of madness of this rivalry. Is this not better for you? Do you not prefer it this way? And then if Ange Postecoglou continues to succeed as you expect him to, and Michael Beale perhaps doesn't succeed as you expect him to, is that not better for you? Is it not better this way then? Does it not set him up for a fall? Should you not enjoy this?
No, I am enjoying it, Gordon.
Doesn't
I'm
sound
just
like it, though.
No, but I mean, I'm loving the hypocrisy. I'm loving the fact that this guy has come in and he's sounding like an Ange Postecoglou wannabe. Everything he's talking about, you know, fast-flowing football. I think he did an interview the other day where he kept saying game on like about half a dozen times. Whereas I think he's desperately looking for a catchphrase.
I think the also guy, you overlook the fact that he's here to sell himself. Now, since you're on about the media, I was the one who wrote that I thought his behaviour was shameless in turning up at the Aberdeen game when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was still in the job. And I said that to my way of thinking, he looked like a vulture. So I'm not in your media pack, but there isn't a media pack. They are simply recording the man saying this, and he's up here to sell himself until such times as games begin. And then, like every other manager, from Jim Duffy at Clyde to Ange Postecoglou at Celtic, he will be judged by results and nothing other than results.
I think what has been interesting over the last few weeks, Jim, because I've said this and I'm sure Jerry's heard it, you can take your own personal feelings on how successful or unsuccessful the Steven Gerrard era was, mm-hmm. and then project that as proof that Michael Beale will either be good or bad. Mm-hmm. And I get where Jerry's coming from, and lots of people are doing that. Oh, well, good, I hope he is the brains behind one trophy and nine losing it to St Mirren. And then other fans might say, well, fair enough, but it was also a regime that went from, you know, gone out to progress neither corner the season before to regularly qualifying for group stages of Europa League to performing well within that, firstly closing the gap at the top of the table, and then eventually fans or not in the stadia, as Jerry references, overtaking that. So
yeah, I mean, listen, I mentioned Kenny Miller there, talking to people. I mean, I speak to a lot of my friends who are Rangers fans, and they really couldn't care less about not winning any other trophy. They had one trophy, which was to stop, or one target, to stop Celtic winning 10 in a row. So Steven Gerrard and Michael Beale will be forever, in the kind of good books, if you want to call it, for the vast majority of Rangers fans, certainly from the ones I've spoken to. So I think that was all that mattered for Rangers in that period in time. As far as Michael Beale's concerned, he is a novice manager. He has only had a very, very short tenure at QPR, started very well, dipped a little bit towards the time just before he left. It's a completely different role as a manager as opposed to be whether it's an assistant coach, first team coach, whatever you like. The jury will be out in how he deals with situations at Rangers and being the guy that's going to be in front of the media and having to deal with all the other aspects that management brings. But like any manager, he's got a fantastic opportunity to try and be successful, but you're only successful at Rangers if you finish above Celtic. And I think Most, you know, I think pundits, if you want to call it that, at this moment in time, would suggest that Celtic are still a fair bit ahead of Rangers, and he's got an awful lot of work ahead of him.
Thanks, Gerry. You're in the hat for those tickets. Nevertheless, first caller straight in. Let's bring in John in Bridgeton, get his take on things. Hi, John.
Hi. Hello, how you doing? Okay.
Yeah, good. How are you?
Hi, John. Aye. Good to see the Gerry after all the break here for 3 or 4 weeks. Has got something on his mind about another club, eh? Gerry, geez, oh. Anyhow, he's just came on there and making better points about Rangers as usual and Celtic. But just going back to what Gerry was saying there, for 3 weeks there, your show has been non-stop about the sacking of Gio and the appointment of Beale. And not once, hardly any, about a very, very low percentage was mentioned about the Australian trip or the Scotland defeat the other week there. It was a non-stop show nearly there for 3 weeks. I know it's big news. We know Rangers are big news. Obviously, they're big news. But, geez, Gerry came on the other night, and I thought it was actually a lawyer coming on to tell Shu something the other way he was speaking to Shu. Trying to be very derogatory, I thought, about the media. But it's good to see that Gerry's more interested in the appointment of Michael Beale. And I thought sarcasm right at the beginning about the boy Brent, David Brent, or whatever his name is. I thought that. I mean, if that's what they're stooping to, it gives me a wee bit of pleasure at thinking they might be a wee bit worried about Michael Beale.
Maybe we need a different figure to compare people to, because did people not used to say Brendan Rodgers was David Brent? Like, now we need somebody else.
I think people
we can't repeat that joke.
The fans, and I do not mean this as a derogatory remark, fans don't understand journalism. And in this city, as you said yourself earlier on, Gordon, this city is unique. When the manager of Rangers or Celtic loses their job, hold the traffic, hold everything, and especially hold the back page, because that becomes the most important story in town. You referenced Brendan Rodgers. The day that Brendan left, there were four of us in the studio that night, because we had to hold back the crowd. It's what happens, John. Celtic and Rangers are in a unique position in a unique city, and when Giovanni van Bronckhorst lost his job, that becomes the only story in town.
I don't think John was complaining about it, in fact, far from it. John, where are you at then in all of this? So apparently we or the media or whoever, Kenny Miller, whoever it may be, is talking up Michael Beale too much. How do you feel about the appointment now that maybe the dust has settled a bit then, and what you're aiming for and what you think is realistic?
To be honest with you, he never flung out at me right away. But once I heard his press conference, I was quite very, very impressed with it. But I want to just make a point there. He's brought up there. You know, like Michael Beale, the messiah that he's making out, that boy there. I wonder if you would sit down and ask what he thinks about Michael Beale. Because they two boys, that's Stephen Gerrard and Michael Beale, finished his career at Celtic. So when they won the 10 in a row, I can assure you, to a man, every Rangers fan, he was a messiah to us. So if he comes back and does as well, it's a bit of a learning process, and hopefully he comes back. We've got to give the boy a chance, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the city again. That's the city again. You know, he destroyed Neil Lennon's career. Hurrah! You know, I mean,
it's been quite a wacky start to the night for a random Neil Wednesday Lennon, with no football on.
Neil Lennon ended his Celtic career because there were bad signings, there were even worse performances, the fans were outside the ground extremely unhappy, and one night in sunny Dingwall, he lost to Ross County, and that was that. And it should have been over and done with for Neil, with the greatest respect. It should have been over and done for him much earlier, but Celtic didn't take the step.
Well, interesting start. Thank you, John and Bridgeton, 01419511025. John, you could win the tickets. It could be you. You could be away to that big tribute night for the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row back in the late 90s.
Looking for a secret Santa for one of these pals.
Anyway, good time to call, by the way. Get your calls in right now and we'll get you on next.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025. There was me thinking it would be a quiet night with not a lot to talk about Hugh Keevans. But the Clyde One Super Scoreboard listeners never disappoint. Do you think it's is it like withdrawal symptoms?
Yes.
From top
flight
football.
The World Cup's gone on too long for them now. They are twitching and they want it back. So Jim Duffy and I were dancing to Eye of the Tiger in the commercial break.
Don't we all? We're nearly there. 8 days' time. Rangers taking on Hibs. In fact, there'll even be, I guess there'll be some friendly action this week. If I don't know if you can get into them. I know you can go to Rangers, Bayer Leverkusen, certainly. What did we say last night? Motherwell were going closed doors down at Spurs on Friday, I think.
See, you picked Spurs without Harry Kane.
I'm sure they'll be quaking in their boots, the reserves that are left there anyway. 01419511025. Chris is on the line as a Celtic fan in Penny Lee. What is your point tonight, Chris?
Evening, Gordon, Jim and Shugster.
Hello.
Basically, what it is, over the last couple of days, there's been noise about Ryan Portis linked with both Celtic and Rangers. Now, I'm a Celtic fan. I think Portis, he's a decent player, but, you know, for his disciplinary record alone, I don't think that's something you can, like, train out a player. I think that's just something guys like Souness, Hurlock, kind of way back, all these guys had this in their game. And sometimes when you take it away from them, it doesn't enhance their game. It's just part of who they are. But for his disciplinary record alone, I wouldn't want him near Celtic Park.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Chris, because the Twitter rumour mill has been it's been ticking a little bit, you know, particularly Ryan Porteous to Rangers. But see, the more I look at it, Jim, I think you started it. Because there's an article that says SPFL boss hints at Ryan Porteous Ibrox move. And I think you you said on Monday night. How much knowledge were you speaking with here? Or was it just you think that would be a good fit? Or
I wouldn't say it was. I mean, just listening. You talked. We just said there. We talked to Beale in football, and you know, someone suggested that you know there might have been interest. Whether that's just someone talking in football or someone suggesting it,
and how far interest goes,
I don't know. But you know, Chris is saying there about discipline or lack of discipline. But you know, Celtic signed a player from Hibs a good few years ago, Scott Brown, who didn't have the best disciplinary record and was a very competitive player and, you know, was an unbelievable success at Celtic Park. So, you know, I think that, yeah, of course, you do, you know, cam a little bit. And as I've said before, when you're a team on the front foot and you're not having to make so many tackles and challenges as Celtic are in Scotland, then, you know, there's less likelihood or less need for it, should we say. And I think, as I said, you know, he is, you know, a player with potential. But Celtic have just signed another centre-back. And if you look at, you know, with Starfield and Welsh and Carter Vickers, Jens, they're all still there. I just don't see Celtic having the need for another centre-back.
I'm not saying the specific concerns are the same, Chris, but have there not been a few players that have, you know, maybe gone to Celtic from other Scottish clubs and fans are maybe not blown away, and then after a bit of time they really flourish? I mean, Greg Taylor would be a brilliant example. He's arguably Celtic's player of the year. I don't think Celtic fans were jumping for joy, no offence Greg if you're listening, and you know, going crazy to rush out and get Taylor on the back of the strips. You look at someone even like Ryan Christie, who came and had to have loan spells and looked like he was on his way out. Could Ryan Porteous not fall into that bracket, all hypothetically of course?
Obviously, I mean, it's obviously possible, but I don't, in my opinion, I don't think it's probable. He's definitely got potential. I agree with Jim, but I think somebody would need to put a hell of a lot of work into him. And as I say, if you look at the guys I mentioned in history, and then you've got the likes of Morelos at Rangers, who he just doesn't learn. And I just think he comes into that category. I just think the boy is going to carry that in his game right through his career.
I think that Celtic, although they have brought in Kobayashi, I think Maurice Yentz may be short term rather than long term at Celtic. I think Stephen Welsh is a problem being long term at Celtic. I never bought into Carl Starfelt. So Porteous, out of contract at the end of the season, you would get him for a very reasonable price if you were to go in January. So that's Celtic. Rangers, the Rangers fans have a problem with Ryan Porteous after his television appearance where he mocked the quote from Steven Gerrard about, do I not look happy, after knocking Rangers out of the cup. So, but fans, of course, get over those problems when he's in your team and he's doing well. So I can see why there is speculation that would link Rangers and Celtic with Ryan Porteous. And I don't believe that his problems are incurable. But John is quite, Chris is quite right to highlight the problems. He's had them. But Stevie Clark got over them and put them in the Scotland squad.
For a big game. Mm.
And he did very well in that game.
Yeah. And Celtic and Rangers would get over them as well. He's not incurable. He just needs a hand.
I feel this, I don't know if it's a particularly modern phenomenon, Jim, whether it's social media or whatever it is, but when players do anything really, it feels like it can be, it can really sort of snowball the perception. Sometimes becomes bigger than the reality. And I genuinely wonder how much of that is at play with Ryan Porteous. And I know he's been sent off, I know he's put daft tackles, I know he's gone down easily.
Yeah.
Is it something that's massive, a stumbling block, a incurable, you know, or has it been blown out of proportion?
Yeah, I think. No, listen, we live in a social media world, so therefore, anything you do now, 10 years ago, wouldn't have gathered the same amount of publicity. So, for instance, you know, as you mentioned, I'm been under a challenge in the box. Jim Goodwin came out and called him, I think it was a cheat or whatever it happens to be. So straight away, that gathers more publicity on social media. And if you have a tackle and similar, and if it's around the same player, then just after that he then gets picked for Scotland and does well. So you've got the other side of it, but he's constantly in the news then for one reason or another, which you know, when you're in the public eye, then obviously you draw attention to yourself for a variety of reasons. But I think, take all that aside, Gordon, just as a pure out and out central defender who plays for Hibs, who is a current Scottish international, who, as you said,
good
will be
age.
Available, 23 years of age, who will be available for either very little in the current market or nothing in the summer. I think that is worth a punt for many teams, including our old firm.
Well, what do you think, Rangers fans? Hugh just said there that you obviously don't hold Ryan Porteous dear to your hearts. Is it something you think you could just overcome, forget about, welcome him in as one of your own? And by the way, I know this is purely hypothetical, but we're on a 5-week break for the World Cup and we're looking ahead to the transfer window, and there clearly is going to be some speculation
about him. Well, he's
come down
the offer of a contract from him, so he's going to be moving.
Absolutely.
So therefore the speculation is going to be there of where. He's at 100% moving. It's just us to try and find out exactly what club's going to get him to sign pen to paper, and he can do that 1st of January on a pre-contract.
Yeah, and what do you think, Rangers fans? Is Hugh right? Would you be able to just forgive and forget, as the old expression goes, or would you have reservations if that was to be a move that the club were interested in? Of course, you've got, I know it's Ross Wilson took a bit of stick, didn't he, at the AGM generally yesterday, and there was something very pointed about John Souter and why did you sign a player with his injury record and shouldn't be signing him just because he's Scottish. But you do actually need certain amount of homegrown or home trained players in your squad, you know, for UEFA competitions.
I think that's an unfortunate one. But I think that Stuart Robertson, the chief exec, maybe flew in the face of evidence when he said that Ross Wilson had done an incredible job.
Outstanding. The word, if you don't mind.
So
I think the bigger problem
numbers,
is the fact
the numbers
is that
don't quite add up in that outstanding word.
I think that Connor Golson got injured, you know, and that he'd played almost every game for the last whatever three scenes or so, and I think that just unexpected. And then the amount of injuries, people going about Leon Balogun just now because again the Michael Beale connection, why did we not keep him and all these sort of things. And I think he's come out and suggested that it was, you know, that it was Ross Wilson that didn't want to give him the contract, but the manager might have wanted to, all these sort of things. But if you've got Hollander, Souter, you know, Goldson, you know,
Ben
King,
Davies,
you know, all of these centre backs, you can't always say, well, what if four of them get injured, we'll sign another one. But I just think going forward, if you looked and just said there's a current Scottish international defender, take away his name's Ryan Porteous, just the name, 23 years of age, for either minimal fee or nothing, you would have to be considered. I think that's something.
One of the most pointless exercises in the football game, but everyone does it, is when we just sort of come up with fees, you know, oh, he's worth this or he's worth that. So indulge me. What is Ryan? What do you need to pay to get Ryan Porteous in January when he's out of contract?
I think about $500,000. I don't think you'd have to pay much more. Why would you? Mm-hmm. I mean, because you could sign him in a pre-contract and get him in the summer for nothing.
Maybe I think $1 million. That's got a kind of ring to it for the accountants. Oh, $1 million, right? Take that.
That's it. Was it $500,000? Mm-hmm. Is that what Hearts turned down for John Souter? That would be the sort of. Mm-hmm. The only recent comparison I can think of. You're in that ballpark.
Yeah. That's the reason why I'm saying it. But you know, again, you might think it's a fair fee, but football's not about fairness. It's about the needs of football clubs, and if Hibs think, well, is it worth keeping them and losing that amount of money, or is it better to take it? And it all depends, again, if anyone else comes in with another offer. It's like any other. If they can manage to have 3 or 4 offers, of course that fee will go up. But if there's only one team in it, then you have to accept what they give you.
What do you think, particularly you Rangers fans, because there is that history there with Ryan Porteous? If, and it is hypothetical, if that was one that the club decided to move for, could you get on board with that? Or not quite? 01419511025. Let us know. Chris, thank you for your call. You're into the hat for the tickets to that Celtic stopping 10 in a row tribute night at the Armadillo next May. Now, before we get any further, let me run this past you.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. J&D Pierce, structural steelwork specialists, proud to support the local community.
Hugh Keevans, I have finally found the prize for you.
Oh.
This is a car that parks itself.
Oh.
So all we need is just to add that little bit extra that it drives itself and you're covered. But it's at least got you 50% of the way there.
Autonomous, I think that's what it's called, isn't it?
It parks itself, Hugh Keevans.
Lady Keevans needs that. You've never seen a squinty at Parker.
Excuse me, how dare you? She gives you lifts everywhere you need it and you go on radio and criticise a parking like that.
But I arrive lopsided.
Anyway, we've got an unbelievable prize for you. Seriously, it's a 72 plate Merc A-Class, a 180 AMG line. It is stunning. Mark Wilson and myself went down to check it out at Arnold Clark the other day. And thanks to the good folks at Arnold Clark for putting up this prize. And you could win it. Not Hugh Keevans. I was just joking, right? We wouldn't let him anywhere near it. He can't win it. Jim Duffy can't win it. But you could win it. And you would be making a difference to children right here on our doorstep that need your help this Christmas at the same time. And I know what you're thinking. That sounds too good to be true. What a win-win. Where is the catch? Well, there isn't one. That's the point. For your chance to win, all you need to do is text CAR to 84901. That's CAR to 84901. The text costs your standard network rate message plus a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. The lines close on Saturday the 17th of December. Over 18s only. Full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. This is not to be missed, though. You'll want to get your text in a good bit before that just to make sure. So text CAR, C-A-R, to 84901. And best of luck from us.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy, Hugh Keevans, both here, both ready and waiting for your call. So come on, 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you are on Twitter, if you're on social media, you will see at the moment Ryan Porteous's name being mentioned. I don't know if it is all Jim Duffy's fault, by the way, for saying it on Monday night's show, but it's clearly going to happen. He is an international defender. He is in our league. He's 23. He's out of contract. He's going to leave very soon. So maybe people are putting two and two together, and maybe it could be a possibility that one of the Glasgow clubs would take a little look. So either way, let us know what you think. We were asking particularly Rangers fans from a sort of personal perspective, because there's no love lost there, is there, between Rangers fans and Ryan Porteous? Would you push all that to one side, hypothetically, or would that be enough to put you off the idea? Why not let us know? Brian has sent me a tweet. He's a Rangers fan, but he says, I'd love Rangers to sign him. He's a great fit into the defence. He'd give them some grit, which is missing at the current moment, says Brian. What about Kevin on the line? What do you think, Kevin?
Well, good evening. I so agree. I think it would be a good signing for Rangers. Plus, he'll learn a lot. If it comes to the rest of Rangers, I'd like to ask Hugh Keane's opinion and Jim Duffy's. I really think it will be a good job for Rangers. Plus, he'll learn a lot. Yes, he done a lot of bad things, but at the end of the day, we need a player like Ryan Porteous, and I'm one of one. I will support him.
Hugh, do you think that night, in a maybe we are just fickle then, because Hibs fans have had this long-standing opinion.
Yep.
Do you think that one night for Scotland went a long way to changing a lot of people's perception?
Either way, Gordon, he's a decent player. And the Rangers fans, if hypothetically he were to go to Rangers, the Rangers fans would get over the mocking of Steven Gerrard in 90 minutes. If he had a good 90 minutes, that'd be that. They wouldn't bring it up again.
There's a bit more to it than that, though, isn't there? Is there not a couple of, you know, there's clashes with Morelos.
Yeah, sent off at Ibrox. Yeah. But I am firmly of the opinion that when he's in your shirt, it's all different. If he's doing it for you and not against you, the mindset changes completely. I don't think he'd have a problem. I really don't.
That's one of the calls earlier on, she mentioned Kenny Miller. You know, so Kenny played for the greatest rivals, you know. So listen, you can be forgiven if you go and do the business on the pitch. I think that, yeah, you're right, Gordon, as I've said, you know, nowadays there seems to be more emphasis on how someone's perceived, you know, the perception of a player and, you know, how he'll be accepted. But I think, as I said, he's more of a modern day centre back where he's athletic. He can pass the ball. He's got that raking diagonal ball in him. He can build up from the back. Yeah, he does have lapses of concentration at times, but that will improve. And the concentration levels required to be a club like Rangers have to be there on a more regular basis. He can't have that drop off, which he can sometimes.
I was going to say, because straight after the Scotland game, did they not score in the next two games?
Yeah.
And everyone was, this is a Ryan Portis show. And probably since then, actually, his form's dipped a bit. Whether that is distraction over what's happening, maybe the fact that Hibs are not exactly pulling up trees themselves either.
Six of the last seven competitive matches lost. Seven out of eight lost, if you include the friendly against Middlesbrough at Easter Road. So he's part of a failing, ailing team. Part of. It's not entirely his fault.
I guess, and it's always impossible to tell, Jim, how much a contractual situation is impacting a player, and people always speculate about it. And actually, maybe that then is what was behind the big, because I personally on here questioned it at the time, why have Hibs made such a big deal of this statement that he's not going to sign a new deal? I mean, you either do or you don't. Everybody knows he's out of contract anyway. Maybe the player was quite happy to have it all put to bed.
Yeah, I think it becomes public because you probably continually get asked. The manager will continually ask Lee Johnson, you know, about his situation, and you can only bat it away so often. And obviously, the player will get it. His agent will be working behind the scenes. I think he'll be Andy Murray's company, I think, maybe. But anyway, he's in the kind of background. There'll be stuff happening. So yeah, sometimes it's better just to be up front and say, look, this is the situation. And then, you know, but it's also, although he comes across as this big kind of confident guy and, you know, he's outgoing, he's still, this will be the first time, Gordon, he's been at Hibs since he was a kid and he's still only 23. So this is a huge moment in his career. I mean, you know, you have to make the right decisions and there will be a bit of pressure on him. And I think he will be a little bit anxious of what's maybe round the corner because he's going to have to perhaps leave where he's always lived and his friends and all these sort of things. So I can understand him, maybe the form dropping a little bit, because I think that's just human nature.
I mean, Derek Laurie sent me a tweet there. He says, Rangers fan, two words, Maurice Johnson, if he can get his onside, then it should be a doddle for Portis if it was to happen.
Yeah.
Going back a bit.
Yeah, well, Maurice, of course, cemented everything by scoring a goal that beat Celtic at Ibrox, and that was that. I do believe if Scott Brown, who was detested by the Rangers supporters, if he'd been in a Rangers jersey, they loved him to bits. That's the way it works.
Thank you, Kevin. 01419511025. And we are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. Davey's a Celtic fan in Crookston. What's your point, Davey?
How you doing? I would just like to say two words to you. Mo Johnston.
Derek, Davey, do you know what's just happened? Whilst you were speaking to producer Callum, I read out a tweet that said two words, Maurice Johnston. And I don't even think it was you, it was someone else. So you've obviously, it's obviously your good minds think alike and all that. Is that the way you see it?
That's definitely it. But I'm on the radio,
am I? You're on, don't you worry. No. Very much so.
Aye.
Well, don't swear.
I'm no swearing. It's Christmas. I'm trying to make money.
So you think ultimately, Davey, you think you know, all the stuff, Ryan Portis, whatever fans feel about him, that all goes away ultimately if he was to pull on your team's jersey, yeah?
If it goes to any side whatsoever, no matter who he goes for, they'll not be long before he makes his mark, and they'll be loving him, and they'll have his names on his back of his shirt.
Yeah, we'd a caller earlier saying, you know, he doesn't think you can sort of change someone's temper, but do you disagree with that?
I think you can change anybody's temper. If you look at some players in the past and they've had a bad temper, they've calmed down and became far better players in the long run.
If you show a professional attitude, you're fine. Mm-hmm. Our own Kenny Miller, as Jim Duffy said, went to Celtic. He was as honest as the day is long in a Celtic jersey. He scored against Rangers at Celtic Park in a Celtic jersey because he's a straightforward, up and down, good, honest professional. And Ryan Porteous will go, if he goes to Rangers or if he goes to Celtic, he will be an honest professional. Someone will have to guide him through the ropier elements of his game, including the problem with discipline on occasion. But he's a bargain buy, as we say, for speed in newspapers, because you're getting him at a cut price because he's out of contract in May.
And are we still referring to Kenny Miller as our own after he left us for Huddersfield?
Well, exactly. How can you be dumped for Huddersfield? Honestly, why are you in Glasgow?
The
for
embarrassment.
Huddersfield.
Honestly. Anyway, we wish him well. No bitterness.
Wherever it is.
Thank you to Davey. Gary's a Rangers fan on the line. What's your take on all this, Gary?
Hey, I was just saying to the producer there, I'm not his biggest fan, not for his footballing ability, but more so just because of his previous run-ins with Rangers. But again, if he came to Rangers, I'd give him my backing. But I do think, a bit like Morelos, he's got the ability there to be a top player, but he also has that wee switch there that can just turn to madness in a minute. So as long as he can get that under control, and if he can show the same sort of aggression that he showed against us, I definitely think he'd be a decent player.
It'd be worth it then, Gary, just for the Twitter clip of him and Morelos embracing each other on day one at the training ground, wouldn't it?
I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he walks in the dressing room at Auchinhowie. So quite funny to see that.
That's assuming that Alfredo Morelos is there to greet him.
But the game in terms of having VAR now has changed, even it doesn't matter whether you're Ryan Portis or any player now. One, I think you need an edge, or you know, if you're a defender and you're a competitive player, the amount of times that we've been on this programme, Gordon, we've heard fans, you know, saying, oh, we need somebody with a little bit more steel, a little bit more aggression, or whatever it happens to be, somebody's a little bit more dominant. And we've maybe said, listen, you can't be the same way as you were 10 years ago, you have to be more controlled. But VAR coming in has meant that you have to be even more disciplined now, because you may well think
for the sort of daft off the ball type stuff.
Anything off the ball is going to go, but also challenges. You might think you can go into a certain challenge, the referee deems it perhaps a yellow card, VAR looks at it, no, your red card. So you have to be even more disciplined. So I think just the evolution of football in this country will continue. And starting from, you know, a month or so ago when we had VAR, and I think that will help players like Ryan Portis, because the common sense approach, you cannot lose control if the ball's there, if the ball's not there, because if you do, VAR's going to pick it up and you're going to be severely punished.
Thank you very much, Gary. Interesting to hear your take on it. You wouldn't be against it at all if the disciplinary side was brought into line. That was Gary's opinion, certainly. So thank you to Gary. And it's that time of the night already. What a quick hour that's been.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, listeners, seriously. The winning run for the Pundits is going on far too long. The only reason Jim Duffy answered the phone and came in here tonight is because he won on Beat the Pundit on Monday. Gordon Dalziel even won last night. That's, you know, we're scraping the barrel here. And the Pundits have been winning for quite some time. Let's see if we can put them in their place tonight. 0141 951 1025. And the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025, and it is Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch with the show tonight. So please do. It's kind of a quiet day, if you like, in terms of no massive headlines from Glasgow's Big Two, but that hasn't stopped us arguing about all sorts of madness in the first hour, as we do. And I'm still quite keen to hear from you Partick Thistle fans. If there's one big Scottish football story today, it's probably that. The entire board, with the exception of one board member, all resigning. It's been a turbulent few months. There's been protests outside games, empty stands, banners, and now Jackie Lowe and her colleagues all stepping down. I think looking at social media, for a lot of you, that is good news, I think. You can tell us if I've got that wrong. And if you disagree with that and you think it's bad news, then please do let us know. 0141 951 1025. Before we do anything else, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. I keep saying it, and I'm saying it because I mean it. We need a win for the listeners. Chris and Pollock Shaws, are you that man? That's a bad start, I must be honest. Chris, can you hear us?
Oh, sorry, had you on mute there.
I was expecting you to say you had us on hold and I was going to be deeply offended, but mute, I can forgive that. That's easy done. How's it going, Chris? Are you well?
Ever
played this before?
No, I'm a first time caller.
Good. How do you usually do alright when you play along at home?
Yeah, well, no bad. Some days are better than others.
Yeah, see, that's a bit like me, Hugh. I say this a lot. I always try and play along to the 5k minute in the morning. I'll always see it on social media, and I kind of go through it and think, how many would I've got? And I had a real sobering one this morning. Uh-huh. I would have been miles off it this morning. So I know how Chris is feeling, and I'm not even sure I'd be brave enough to go on and do it, I must admit. So let's toss the coin. Heads, it is Hugh Keevans, and tails, it will be Jim Duffy for the second time this week. Mm. You're off the hook. It's heads. It's Hugh Keevans against Chris and Pollock Shaws. That's what you wanted, is it, Chris?
Yeah.
Good. Let's find out how it's going to go. Hugh, I'll give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. And we'll get rid of that and get your clock ready. Chris, I know you've never played. You have listened. So quickly to recap, 30 seconds. Just go through as many as you can. And you're welcome to pass if you don't know. All right?
Okay. Yep.
Top right. Man. Let's get stuck in then. Your time starts now. Name the most recent Italian side Celtic faced in the group stages of European competition.
Bologna.
Which Rangers manager signed Arthur Newman and Craig Moore?
Dick Advocate.
Name either Swede who's played in the Scottish Premiership this season.
Tough one. Yeah, pass.
In what decade were Queen's Park last in the Scottish top flight?
70s.
Who's the current Inverness manager?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Hugh back. Hugh, can you hear us?
Is it Christmas soon?
The
tune's Bruce Springsteen on there.
Bruce Springsteen says Santa Claus is coming to town.
Good, quite right. Good song. You ready?
Yep.
Let's go. Name the most recent Italian side Celtic faced in the group stages of European competition.
Roma.
Which Rangers manager signed Arthur Newman and Craig Moore?
Dick Advocate.
Name either Swede who's played in the Scottish Premiership this season.
Carl Starfelt.
In what decade were Queen's Park last in the Scottish top flight?
50s.
Who is the current Inverness Cali Thistle manager?
It's Billy Dodds.
Who, name any current Scottish top flight club that John Rankin played for.
Hibs.
It's harder in real life, Chris, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it?
Oh, much harder. How do you think
no
it went?
Way, man. I know I got one.
Well, that's a good lesson. See, if I was a listener, I think I would take that because you just don't want the zero.
Especially against you, man.
The most recent Italian side Celtic faced in the group stages of a European competition. I liked your style, Hugh, because I'm not saying it was easy to get right, but you went for one that they've like never played recently in group stages.
Right.
So that was good. I reckon I would have forgotten about AC Milan. Remember that?
Milan.
Was that the Neil Lennon?
I thought you'd just say Milan and hope you get one of two.
And you remember the
even though it's gold, isn't it?
You remember the Lazio games. Mm-hmm. Anyway, AC Milan, none of you got it. Which Rangers manager signed Arthur Newman and Craig Moore? It was Dick Advocaat. And well done, Chris. You got one. It was your first one up and running.
My only one.
You never know. We'll find out. Hugh got it as well, though. So it is one all. Next question. Name either Swede who's played in the Scottish Premiership this season. You had the choice of Carl Starfelt or Melker Hallberg. So I'm afraid Hugo is further in front. And Chris, this was unfair because the only guy who was going to football in the 50s when Queen's Park were in the top flight was Hugh Keevans. He got that. Yeah. And I must admit, he's running away from you. He knew that Billy Dodds yeah. was the Inverness manager, and he knew that John Rankin had played for Hibs or Dundee United or Ross County. So Chris, I appreciate you giving it a bash, but unfortunately that was a 5-1 win for Hugh Keevans. Take it easy.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I like that.
Good man. Right, Chris. And Pollock Shaw actually seems happy to have lost to Hugh.
He just wanted to take part against Hugh.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, fighters now just want to take on Tyson Fury. He's a Tyson Fury of punditry.
Jeez, he's been called many things, I must admit.
Well, Billy Fury.
Well, you need to explain that to a lot of the listeners.
That's went right over my head. Anyway, I did say we were going to be joined live on the show by someone who's just played at the World Cup. We are in the presence of someone who's just rubbed shoulders with Lionel Messi, no less. And he's back with a bang to Paisley, of all places. Now it's St Mirren's Keanu Backus. How's it going, Keanu?
Hey, mate, how you going? You good?
I'm very well, thank you. Really appreciate you joining us. Obviously, we have to jump straight in and say, what on earth was it like to play against Lionel Messi?
Obviously, it's a real moment for me. And to start as well and be on the same pitch, it's obviously an amazing feeling, you know. Credit to him because such a big player and he's done so well, you know, for so many years.
Oh, there's a story here, Keanu. On Saturday night, I actually took my phone out and I texted one of my colleagues on this show, and I was typing out the message, and we were talking about how well you were doing. And that there was like a 5 minute period where I think you had taken the ball off him three times, or you had intercepted passes or whatever, nicked it off him. And just as I'm sending the message, you know what happens. Is that just sum up the challenge? Did you feel like you were actually doing quite well against him for a period?
Yeah, definitely. I thought so. You know, I thought I'm obviously younger. Probably a bit fitter than he is now. You know, in terms of legs. So I thought that could get, you know, that could do me wonders. But yeah, then obviously he popped out with that special moment. You know, that's him. You know, he can change a game like that, and that's what I've learned as well. How good he really is up front and up in person. You know, so. He's just a special player.
Was it easy not to get overawed and not sort of pinch yourself and think, my goodness, I'm playing against Lionel Messi? Because you were, like we said, you were so close. He was in your area of the pitch a lot. After a couple of minutes, does it just feel like any other opponent?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it just felt like football again. That's how I wanted to treat the whole experience. You know, it's been playing football since I was five and always loved the game. So. I mean, you know, it's the highest level, but it's also, you know, it's an enjoyable thing to be out there and playing the game you love. So I just wanted to treat it like that. And I think after it was more so a pinch yourself moment to realise that, you know, you went toe-to-toe with him and with Argentina being such a good country in football, you know.
How do you look back on the entire experience then? And I guess you must have an immense pride with how well Australia did overall.
Yeah, we're super proud of, like, you know, everyone involved, all the boys, the staff. Because we banded together, and I think we did an amazing job, you know, for people probably writing us off as well. So, yeah, you know, credit to everyone's hard work in the lead up and the 4 years leading up to it. So, yeah, we're super proud of everyone involved.
Did you feel a lot of support from back home? Because Australia was littered with either players like yourself who play here, and then even a couple of guys that were born here, and Harry Souttar and Jason Cummings, and then Martin Boyle with his injury. Did you feel like Scotland had your back?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, sad that they weren't there competing as well. But yeah, I think so. Definitely. As you said, there's what, seven other boys that play in this league or something like that. So yeah, I definitely think everyone was behind us, and I definitely felt the support too. So.
Do you feel like those experiences, Keanu, ultimately can now help you for the rest of the season? Can St Mirren benefit from that, you know, having gone and tasted football at that level?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've always been like a keen learner and wanting to do well for wherever I am, you know, and work as hard as I can. And I just want to continue that, and that little bit more experience that I've gained is, I guess those moments of, I probably wouldn't call it pressure because, you know, it was a privilege and it was an honour to play for my country. But, yeah, those big moments in a person's career can definitely, you know, I can definitely push forward and hopefully continue to do great things at St Mirren.
What does that say about your decision to move to St Mirren? Because we know that our league is not always thought of as being the most glamorous, but you've come to St Mirren, and all of a sudden then it coincides with the Australia recognition and getting to start that World Cup game. Does that sort of vindicate your decision to come here?
Yeah, definitely. Both my decision to come here and the club's decision to reach out to someone like me in Australia, you know, so credit to them as well. I have to always, you know, give thanks where it's due. But yeah, definitely, taking a chance leaving my family and coming here and just wanted to do what I did, really hit the ground running. You know, it obviously helps when the team's doing well and the team's performing, and you know, we were right up there come a few weeks ago, and we'll be right back there in a few weeks when the league starts again. But yeah, you know, credit to everyone involved, because you know, everyone benefits from this, which is good and amazing too.
Right, before we let you go, we need to know the Cammy Devlin story. What on earth has gone on there? How has he ended up with that keepsake?
Yeah, look, he's kept that one pretty quiet, to be honest. Obviously, I ended up getting a photo with Messi after that moment, but I didn't see Cammy, you know, grab the shirt. But good on him, you know. I've been close to Cammy since I was young, and I guess he kept it quiet in case anyone pinched it off him. So, yeah, you know, happy for Cammy for that moment. But yeah, it's good.
So it was just a case of him just being brave enough, confident enough to go and ask the question.
I think so, yeah, because we obviously had a moment where we played the French national team, and yeah, they were a bit standoffish about giving some shirts, or some boys were, because, you know, obviously probably want to give it to their family and friends and whatnot. So we understood that. So I guess the boys sort of took that experience and weren't too, you know, didn't want to act over keen or anything. So I guess he just was brave enough to go up and ask him, and I guess, you know, Messi was nice enough to give it to him too, which is credit to him.
Did you not tell him you were the guy that had to chase Messi around the pitch for the game?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I could get a few words in with him, I don't know. I didn't know if he spoke too much English, to be honest, or yeah, I didn't get to speak to him properly, but yeah, I definitely would have, you know, in hindsight, yeah.
Tell me you got something though. Did you get a keepsake of your own? Who did you get?
Yeah, I ended up getting Højbjerg from Denmark, the Denmark game. Obviously based on Spurs, so that's quality, you know, for me. And I think
absolutely. And then you can keep the one, you keep your own one against Argentina as the keepsake from when you started that game.
Yeah, definitely. We pretty much keep all the jerseys we've got, which is also special as well. So I look back on that, and you know, with family and friends, and it'd be a special moment forever, I guess.
Brilliant. Looking forward then, very quickly, is that you? Are you straight back into St Mirren training? Is there any sort of break? You know, how does it work? Are you just straight back at it?
Yeah, you know, look, yeah, it would have been nice to see family in Oz, but yeah, as well, all the travel will be hard with, you know, the season starting in a week or two. So I'm happy to be back, and yeah, training starts this end of this week, and then obviously back into it next week. I'm buzzing, you know, to get back.
Brilliant. Well, well done. You did yourself proud over there, and congratulations. We're all looking forward to seeing you and your St Mirren teammates get back at it in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you very much. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, guys.
Good man. Thank you very much. That was St Mirren's Keanu Backus, fresh from rubbing shoulders with Messi to talking to you, Hugh Keevans. Life just doesn't get any better.
It's going to be a funny old game in the Hearts dressing room, because on the one hand, Cammy Devlin, after the World Cup break, has brought back Messi's jersey. Andy Halliday's brought back a hair weave.
I was going to say, who's the more productive break, Andy Halliday with his new hairdo, or I think they know the answer. I'll wait to finish that question. But Jim, Keanu there listening to him speaking, and I'm sure you did watch the game.
Yeah,
he actually did. I didn't want to hammer it and almost sound patronising. Genuinely, for about half an hour until that goal went in, I couldn't take my eyes off how good a job he was doing at getting close to Messi.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I didn't want to interrupt, because obviously you're interviewing him, but just to try and find out really what the manager's instructions were, you know, whether to, because obviously we know that Messi walks about at times and then he just comes to life. And when he comes to life, it's just, it's, you know, he's unbelievable moments in the game. And it must be difficult, you know, when you're, you know, a high tempo player like Keanu Backus. Because you must be thinking, I've got all this energy, and he just keeps walking about.
Yeah.
And you know, how do you discipline yourself to stay in that area? And you're right, the first thing, you know, whatever, 25, 30 minutes, he had a couple of tackles on him, gave a couple of free kicks away, won the ball a couple of times, and you think, yeah, he's doing all right. And then Messi comes up with a moment of brilliance. And you must be sitting there just thinking, how does he do that?
And he was even quite close at the goal, wasn't he? It was a split second. Yeah. He almost gets back in.
But that's the thing. He just shifts it, hits his side foot in the bottom corner. And it's just, as I said, it's a typical Messi goal. But listen, to be playing in the World Cup, playing against, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time, and, you know, do as well as he done, not just him, but his country. Yeah. Listen, you can't ask for any more. But it'll be interesting to see his first game. I don't know who St Mirren's first game's against, but either way, it'll be a culture shock when he comes back to Scottish football in December with the weather we've got after playing in Qatar. And I don't think you know, you'll have to have too many sleepless nights about whatever opponent he's going to be
facing.
Are you
trying to tell me that Kevin Van Veen's not in the same par as Lionel Messi?
Listen, I thought you would have known straight away it was his mother. Well, that's the reason why you asked
waiting.
You.
I was just poised.
But yeah, listen, he's as I said, I think that the opposition should give him a little bit more serenity, should we say, as he approaches the game.
Well, we'll find out. We'll see what mother will have up their sleeve. Lewis is on the line on that similar theme, actually. Lewis, what's your point tonight?
Hi guys. It's just similar to what you're speaking about there. To be honest, it's just wondering whether the exposure of players playing in Scotland will result in, you know, greater interest in the Scottish game, both with players coming in to clubs like Dundee United, Hearts and St Mirren, and people taking more of an interest. I know that the Australian boys have kind of come over in recent times, and you've got the Japanese boys as well, and then you have two Croatians playing, all coming from Scotland. So I was just wondering if the current World Cup is going to act as an advert for players when they're looking at maybe what their next move is going to be.
Can't be a bad thing, you.
No, I was about to say it will certainly do no harm at all. But I think people are looking at Scotland anyway. They're looking at Ange Postecoglou, who's now signed a total of 5 Japanese players. They're looking at Barisic and Juranovic still in the World Cup with Croatia and playing in our league. They're looking at Aaron Moy, who took his chance at Celtic and got into the Australian squad. And they're just saying there is something to be had from going to Scotland into the Premiership. It will do no harm whatsoever.
Word of mouth from those players as well. Yeah. You know, like we heard Keanu Backus there talking about, he was thankful that St Mirren took a chance on him, bring him over as well. So when they come into the country, if they're welcomed, if they feel comfortable, if it enhances their international prospects, like it has done, as Lewis has mentioned, for so many of these players, then these players are going to spread that word. Their agents are going to spread the word. Their families are going to say, listen, Scotland's a good place to go and play, because, you know, it doesn't put you under the radar. It actually puts you on the radar. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really, really positive sign, as you mentioned, so many players from so many different countries. But yeah, I think it does put a positive spotlight on your game, Gordon.
I don't think I need to explain the reasons, but, you know, with us being in Glasgow and Celtic and Rangers, and the fact that Juranovic might be on his way, you know, we've been speaking a lot about what being at the World Cup can do for his transfer value. But see, because of the margins that some of our so-called smaller clubs work at, I wonder if the bigger impact might be felt somewhere else. I don't know if it's Keanu Backus, but one that in particular, maybe Kai Rowles at Hearts. Rave reviews, played, I think, every game for Australia at centre-back. Rave reviews. You know, surely some clubs would be having a look at that.
Yeah, if you're talking about a million, a couple of million for many, many clubs, including Championship clubs, that's nothing, you know. So, but for Hearts, it's a huge amount of money. So, yeah, if one or two players did move on and that revenue came into the clubs, it would be massive for those clubs. And again, it would highlight, you know, the positivity surrounding the Scottish game. You know, again, I listened to Rio Ferdinand, you know, waxing lyrical about Harry Suter after the game. You know, look at his range of passing, highlighting that he was out for a year with a cruciate ligament injury, only just came back. And again, yeah, well, right, born in Scotland, playing for Australia, his brother obviously playing for Rangers. But again, it's showing you that there are hidden gems, I think, in Scotland. And I think this will definitely, you know, send you know, those type of signals out to agents and clubs around the world. Listen, come and look at Scotland. And also, we've got some really talented young Scottish players playing, particularly in Italy just now. True. Lewis Ferguson, Josh Stoig, things like that. So without a doubt, Gordon, our game is expanding, and I think people are taking a little bit more notice of it that recently than it has been for a number of years.
I take it simply by raising the point, Lewis, you agree with that? That's something you've managed to find enjoyment in at this World Cup, despite us not being there?
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to hear, as Jim's saying, that pundits in England are talking about Scottish players. Maeda was singled out against Croatia, and I think it's positive, and hopefully it has the desired impact on improving the quality across the league and the national team as well.
Good man, Lewis. It's a very good point. Well made. Hopefully we'll speak to you soon. Thanks for taking the time.
Cheers. All right.
Good man. That was Lewis. Not too far from here, just outside the city. 01419511025. I'll get a teaser for these two. And if you want to get in touch, now would be a good time. You Partick Thistle fans, I keep saying it, come on, let's take a look at that. What a momentous day it could be. It's certainly a big day, whether you are happy or angry or somewhere in the middle. Pretty much the entire board stepping down in one go. What do you make of that? Pick up the phone and speak to us next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It was great to hear from St Mirren's Keanu Backus. He's just joined Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy and I on the line, talking about playing against Messi and starting at the World Cup. Maybe you St Mirren fans want to come on and pay tribute. Partick Thistle fans, what a day it's been. Every member of the board bar one all stepping down in one go. Is that good news? Is it bad news? How do you feel about it? What's been going on at the club? Let us know on the phones and we'll get to you very soon. I think we've got Stephen hanging on the line as well. Let me give you tonight's full time teaser though, and as always, a quick reminder, the aim of the game is that you send the questions to us and the pundits struggle generally to come up with the answers between round about 7:30 and the end of the show. Topical, this one. I like it. I can see where the inspiration has come from. It's Gary in Bells Hill that sent it in. It's a bit of a roundabout tribute to Morocco and the fact that they got through. Look at Hugh Keevan's face. Don't worry, Hugh Keevans. You'll see where I'm heading in a minute. Can you name the Scotland starting 11 when Morocco beat us at France 1998? So that would still be the last World Cup game Scotland men's team played. Yeah, can you name the Scotland
Saint-Etienne?
Were you there?
Yeah.
Well then, you should skoosh this. How many glasses of French red followed? That would be the deciding factor here on how many you're going to get right.
Let's go with Colin Henry.
Braveheart indeed, well done.
Tommy Boyd.
Yep.
Jackie McNamara.
Alright, that seems like a good start. We can leave it there. In fact, give me one more guess then.
Craig Burley.
Yeah, sent off, wasn't he? Okay, we will leave that there. We're looking for, as a bit of a roundabout, odd, strange tribute to Morocco after progressing at the World Cup yesterday, we're asking for the Scotland starting 11 the night that we lost to Morocco in Saint-Etienne, as Hugh says, in France 98. That'd be the first sort of knockout round shock of the World Cup. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think the knockout, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, as a shock, I suppose, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I did watch the game, and like everybody else that's kind of made comment on it, I think Spain forgot that there was, you know, the game didn't finish at the 18-yard box. There was an actual goal 18 yards further
ahead.
Try and
put the ball through that.
Yeah, just cross it or shoot or, you know, do something.
With about 1,000-odd passes again.
But for people with their
monotonous boredom
culture in the game, the penalty kick taken from Spain, dear me.
And Japan the night before.
Yeah.
And a couple that have been missed. And
well, it does my head in, Gordon. We keep hearing these statements of saying, oh, it's small margins and fine details and all these phrases. Practice penalties then. Do them properly. I know the Spain manager said, oh, they practice 1,000 penalties and that. But how many times do you see them going up and having that little stutter run, checking a Lewandowski done it, missed it? But all these, know, I think they're almost as if now they're, rather than trying to score a goal, they're just trying to take the mick out of the goalkeepers.
They were playing Morocco and they drew a Casablanca.
Oh, very good. This is entirely anecdotal. I've got no sort of evidence to back this up, Jim. I have been feeling recently that at the top level of football, the penalties had actually been getting really good. You know, you see the guys who are whipping it into top corners and almost impossible to save, and the technique's so good. And I feel like quite often on the big stage, that's what we've been seeing recently. Mm-hmm. And then this World Cup feels like a bit of a step back in that regard. Some of the penalties have been really poor.
Yeah, shocking is, I'm saying, for me, that a lot of them are just trying to make the goalkeeper look bad rather than do it properly. Listen, you know, the winning penalty for Morocco with a little dink, you know, that takes, you know, a little bit of bottle. There's no doubt about it. But when it goes in, it always looks cool and classy. If the goalkeeper just stands there, scoops it up, then you look an absolute fool. So, yeah, listen, I'm off the Harry Kane type penalty. You know, if he misses, he misses. But, you know, he's got absolute technique, knows a routine. He knows what he's going to do, and he tries to execute it as best he can. On occasion, the keeper saves it. But to me, that's the best way of doing it.
We're about to speak to Stephen. Let me just remind everyone of that Partick Thistle story if they are just joining us, Hugh, because I just feel like it's quite dramatic what's happened today. So Partick Thistle chair Jackie Lowe and all but one of the club's board of directors have all resigned. Now, this is after fan protests. It's about ownership and direction that the Firhill club was heading in. You'll have heard about it in a couple of weeks, in the last couple of weeks on this show, for instance. There was the game against Kelty, and fans staying away, and there's been banners and all the rest of it, and all kind of centering around the leadership, the ownership, the way that fan ownership in particular is being pursued. And now Jackie Lowe, Alan Ruff, Alan Caldwell, Andrew Byron, Douglas Noble, John Penman, Michael Robertson, they've put their names to this statement and decided to all step down. Very dramatic.
Not only dramatic, but potentially damaging. Who knows how Ian McCall feels tonight? He's the manager who's got to try and correct a team who have been up and down this season in the midst of internal strife. So it's not good for Ian McCall and the players. As far as I can see, no one is getting any good out of this situation as it stands right now, and it has to be resolved quickly for the future of the club.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously get that, but at the same time, it's now not hanging over anyone's head, Jim, and sometimes you need meaningful change. That's how you progress. I can see a lot of Partick Thistle fans on Twitter not happy. They feel the statement is a bit salty, if you like. They've issued a statement that these board members saying, you know, although the members of the board were re-elected, a section of the fan base encouraged by false narrative and ongoing negative commentary has not moved on. And they sort of kind of almost sort of very critical of the fans as a parting shot. I've seen a lot of people pulling out that old meme about the come dine with me guy that can't graciously accept that he's lost the money.
Yeah, a bit like Ronaldo, not accepting the fact he's on the bench more. No, listen, I know it was maybe 20 odd years ago or whatever it happens to be, but Partick Thistle fans dug deep to save their club. And I think that sometimes people forget that football fans, when in times of trouble and strife, many, many football clubs have had to go to their supporters, and they've really dug deep and made sure that their club gets through those difficult times. So when there's another side of it, and the fans want the club to go in a different direction, or want them, you know, they don't see the improvement or whatever, they're totally entitled to voice their opinion. But as you said, a decision's been made, and it's now about who comes on board and how can they take the club forward. How can they fulfil the ambitions of the club, but more importantly, the supporters? Because if the supporters bring their own people in, then if it doesn't work out, how do you deal with it then? But yeah, I think, as I say to you, for me, Partick Thistle supporters, alongside many others around the club, deserve an enormous amount of credit for the way they've stuck by their team.
There are hundreds of replies to the statement on Twitter, Hugh. Oh. Every one of it saying, you know, classy, but sarcastically, talking about, you know, sort of blaming the fans and how bitter it sounds. And it seems like a lot of Partick Thistle fans are not taking that.
The statement from the outgoing director says that there has been a false narrative. If there is a false narrative, why have you gone then?
That's a good question. I'll leave it dangling. 01419511025. On a different theme, Stephen and Coat Bridge is on. What's your point, Stephen?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Pleasure. How are you?
I'm just listening to the guys talking about Portis. What would he bring to Rangers? I think the guy would be a great signing for Rangers. He's 23. He's got loads of potential. He's still young. This is where I would like Michael Beale to go along the lines of bringing some young talent in. Lowry, who's the other chap? You've got Lowry, McCann, McCrory. Portis would be excellent. Bring the young blood through. Give guys a shot now because the league's over. Get the older players out. Obviously, they've done us really well. McGregor, Davis, the guys that are older now, get them out the door. Look at the talent that's come down south. Look at Bellingham, Foden, Grealish, Rashford. Look at these young players and how young they've been playing for because they've been given a chance. That's what you need to be doing with Lowry, McCann, Portis. Get Portis in. I think he'd be a great signing for Rangers. And McCrory as well. Give McCrory a chance. This is what Beale should be doing for Rangers. Starting getting a young team, no getting older players in, signing guys in freeze, getting them in for the last couple of years. Get young blood in, get a strong, healthy, fit team. Just want to know what you think of that, guys.
I like the way Stephen's framed it, Jim, because I feel like we've said everything that's to be said about what lies ahead for Michael Beale, but actually we've not had that much focus on what he might do with the academy players. We've had a lot about Kent and Morelos and formations and styles and all that stuff. I wonder if he would make a big statement by going in and making that a sort of conscious effort to do that early on.
Yeah, I know Stephen's there. I mean, the first thing Stephen said was that you get young players in, but then he said that the league's gone. I don't think any new Rangers manager can come in and say no. The league's gone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to introduce 3 or 4 young players, and we're going to look to build something over the next 2, 3, 4 yeah. years. It just won't get that time. So he has to get the balance right.
That it would make them any worse, though. I think that would maybe be the question.
Yeah, but as a manager, Gordon, it's not a case of saying, well, you know, we'll be better off in all time. You need to be competitive. You need to be as close to your biggest rivals as you possibly can. Listen, I'm all for, you know, guys come in, as he mentioned, those young players he mentioned, Lowry, McCann, and guys out there, they're terrific young talents. And I think they should be in and around the first team. There's no doubt about that. And I also believe that it's maybe time to start moving some of the more experienced ones out. But that's just a process. And I think it'll be interesting to see who he brings in January, what type of players he brings in, whether it's young players, that can add energy and ambition to the football club, or whether he goes for a kind of tried and trusted to try and make sure they can compete for the rest of the season and look at it in the summer.
Stephen said a thing that people often say, the league's gone. Now, people in the dreaded media don't say this to be provocative. How can it be gone? Arithmetically, there are 23 games left to play, 69 points to be played for. How can the league be gone?
I do get that, but I think if you dig beneath that comment, what Stephen's trying to get at, what's to say that playing Alec Lowry is more damaging than playing, I don't know, Scott Arfield? I think that's what Stephen's getting at. What if it actually boosts your chances? I don't think Stephen is necessarily saying, oh good, we don't care if we finish 40 points behind, let's just play these guys. It's because he thinks it actually might improve things.
Yeah, if you play the young boys because they're better than the current ones, or no problem, it doesn't matter what age he is. But if you play the young ones and they don't improve the team and the team have bad results, that can damage the young boys, because then they feel the wrath of the fans, the criticism, not maybe directed at them personally, but in the atmosphere on the ground, and that can stifle your development, Gordon. So it's about getting confidence back into the team, getting results, getting consistency, and then feeding in those young ones alongside that. I'm sure Michael Beale will understand that, but to me, I agree with you. I think that those young players are good enough and are more than capable of improving the current Rangers team.
Leon King suffered latterly in the Giovanni Van Bronckhorst days. I think he did suffer. But all I'm saying is, if you have a mix of the young and the more experienced, then fine, get on with it. But arithmetically, how can it be gone?
Stephen?
Guys, I think the young blood would do us a world of good. I think Lowry, every time Lowry's played, he's looked magnificent, and then he's just not getting, I know he had an injury, but it was as if Gio just wasn't getting him about the team. Do you see what I'm saying here? McCann as well. McCann's came with a big reputation as well, and he's not getting near the team with Gio as well. So that's where I'm thinking, these guys could change it a wee bit. We've slacked a lot this year, we've not played well. Give these guys, put one in, put two in, see if it changes the system, see if we play better, see if it puts a bit of urgency in the team, because they're bringing young guys through. Let me make the other guys think, we need to step up here. That's just, I think, a bit of young blood in the team, a bit of change in direction would do us very well.
Yeah, it's a fair point, certainly. And I wonder, Jim, he mentioned earlier, Stephen, Robbie McCrory, I'm not saying Michael Beale comes in and just decides to pitch Robbie McCrory in at number one, but for all parties, you do wonder how much longer it goes on with him being Rangers' third choice keeper. Yeah, you know, what's the point for much longer? He has signed a deal now. Maybe both the experienced ones leaving, I don't know. But does something need to move there at some point?
Well, sometimes, you know, I mean, Alan McGregor took a while to really establish himself, being loan a couple of times, and the same with Robbie McCrory. So, you know, sometimes as a goalkeeper, you know, it can become a little bit more frustrating than an outfield player, because you're not getting any chances as opposed to some of those young players getting some game time. But again, in principle, I agree with Stephen. I think that there is scope there for Rangers to start to move out 3 or 4 of the players and introduce some of those young players. But from Michael Beale's point of view, he, as you said, he has to make sure he try and gets closer to Celtic. And I think the only way they'll do that is by strengthen the team in the January window. I think recruitment is always vital when you're a manager, and I think his first couple of signings will be pivotal in how the Rangers fans see the rest of the season in terms of how close they can get to Celtic.
It's a good debate, Stephen. You've stirred it up. Thank you very much, Stephen, in Coatbridge, 01419511025. On tonight's full-time teaser, we're asking you, as a weird, quirky tribute to Morocco yesterday beating Spain at the World Cup, can you name the Scotland team that lost to Morocco in the last game that the men's team played at a World Cup back in 98? You've got Colin Hendry, Tom Boyd, Jackie McNamara, Craig Burley. You've not even got any wrong yet. Say that again with the mic
Paul,
on.
Paul Lambert.
Paul Lambert, yes.
John Collins.
Scooshing it. John Collins, and we'll get the rest of the answers after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, we're on the home straight with Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans. It's the final part of the show. You can still get your calls in, because remember, every caller that makes it on air tonight goes into the hat to win a pair of tickets to that special tribute evening to the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row back in the 90s. All the many of the top names from that era will be there in attendance, and you could be too, just by making a point to the guys. And if you're not a Celtic fan, I know you'll know someone who is, and you can maybe stick the tickets in the Christmas card this year, and you'll be very popular. Before we take another call from Jerry, who's on the line, can you name tonight's full-time teaser, can you name the Scotland team that lost to Morocco in the last game that the men's team played at a World Cup, unfortunately, as the case now is? Hendry, Boyd, McNamara, Burley, Lambert, Collins,
Jim Leighton in goal.
Yes, Jim Duffy, what are you giving me?
I think Darren Jackson played, did he not?
He did not.
All right. What about Gordon Jury?
Gordon Jury did. All right, leave it there and we'll get the rest, I'm sure, before the end of the show. Just very quickly, whilst on the subject of quizzing, everyone's favourite quiz team, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, are back tomorrow and we're going to have a quiz. We're going to have a proper quiz. Remember, we started this during lockdown just to like keep everyone's spirits up and try and get a bit of a camaraderie going, and it sort of carried on. People liked it. We do the odd one here and there, maybe at the end of the season. I think we did one at Christmas last year. So the Christmas quiz is back tomorrow night, live on the show. Get your team names ready, get your pencils sharpened, and see how you fare. So we'll do that on tomorrow night's show. But let's bring in Jerry, who is called in tonight. He's from Glasgow. He's a Hamilton Accies man. Jerry, what's your point for the guys tonight?
Hi, hey, good evening, guys. It's actually I'm a director of the club at Accies.
Okay. And
it was, we don't really get the coverage that it deserves right enough, but we've dropped the entry price to £3 on Saturday for all spectators to attend the match against Inverness Cali.
I must admit, I mean, that's seriously dropping it, Jerry. Is that a sort of acknowledgement of how tough it is for everyone at the moment financially?
I think certainly the owners of the club need to take a good bit of credit for the, you know, the level of giving. It's the cost of living crisis. Everyone's aware of it. And you've got a cup match that's thrown in the middle of a league calendar, you know, a couple of weeks before Christmas. So they've dropped the prices from £15.05 to £3 for everyone. And it's, I think, by the time you take off the VAT and then the fan base charges as well, you know, you're close to running at a loss. But it's obviously we do what we can to try and get spectators in. We're not in the same privileged position that a lot of teams are in my demographic area, and it's just a bit of a challenge, you know. And I think part of my remit at the club is to try and garner a new fan base that will see us, you know, for the next kind of generations ahead. So
good. Well, I would always applaud any attempt to make things a bit more affordable and a bit more accessible for fans, Hugh. So
I think
off.
It's good that Jerry came on, because otherwise, how do people know these things? You know, you've got to make your own publicity here. Get one to this programme.
We can help. That's
yeah. And you know, the Accies are on a hiding to nothing because it's so close to Christmas. I think the Nokia just went off.
That's Hughes. That's not mine.
Jerry, that's all these pals texting them to say they want to go to the Accies.
No, but they have nothing going for them at the weekend because the Accies are struggling in the league, as everyone knows. Christmas is round the corner. Wives want husbands to go Christmas shopping. Everything is against you, but that is unbeatable value at £3 across the board.
And vice versa for any men who are the shopaholics, of course. Yep. Jim Duffy, like, well, funny to sort of loosely link it, we were just having a discussion about Partick Thistle and how, you know, your absolute priority needs to be to sort of keep your fans on side and try and do things to help them and so on. So I know this is a bit different, but Jerry's on talking about £3. I think in this day and age, that's extremely reasonable.
No, it's fantastic, you know, from the club. I mean, I've done a few things over the years in terms of complimenting Hamilton and how they are within the community, you know, and whether it's their involvement in the community, or whether it's, you know, how they develop young players and how they've structured their football club. You know, they're a tremendous advert, you know, for sustainability, really, in the sense of, you know, how a small club can flourish at times. But as Jerry says, now with all the variety of issues, financial issues that people have, and obviously we fully understand as well, Inverness have made a statement of, you know, they're not sending their strongest team down and it'd be a younger team. But, you know, a lot of other teams would have just ignored that. Jerry and his club, Hamilton Accies, have said, no, we're going to do something about it, and we want to encourage as many fans, particularly young fans. I think particularly young fans at this time of year will go along, and I think he will. I think it'll definitely help the crowd. I think it'll be, you know, if some young fans might go along for the first time, and as he said, part of his job is to try and make them sure they come on a more regular basis.
I mean, with no offence to the good people at the SPFL Trust Trophy, it is difficult scheduling, isn't it? As Jerry mentions, so on a purely footballing sense, you're in the middle of a league campaign, so you've got season tickets and all that stuff to look after those games. There's a cost of living crisis. It's winter, it's freezing, Christmas is round the corner. It's not an entirely easy sell.
Any initiative that encourages people to go to football matches has to be applauded, and Hamilton Accies have to be applauded for this. This is a huge drop. Normally £15, but £3, yeah, listen, it's the price of a cup of coffee. So I think get as many people as they possibly can.
It's been a tough time on the pitch, of course, Jerry. Full of confidence, full of faith that can be turned round.
I think there's been, again, just before I kind of touched on that one, Hugh touched on a point there, if, you know, if it wasn't for the likes of this call, you wouldn't be aware of this kind of initiative. But surely, and this is I never grew up a Hamilton fan, you know, so I've got a bit of a cheek when I'm talking about fans bypassing the local club to go and watch a game. But that's the reality of the challenge that we face. But surely, you know, there's got to be something on the kind of platform that you guys have got, that these kind of initiatives are actually, you know, sourced out and publicised, you know, as part of, you know, the support of football in general, not just Celtic and Rangers. You know, is that a valid kind of point?
Absolutely. I think the beauty of it is, Jerry, if you think we're not doing our job, you can do it for us, and that's kind of what you've done. So, listen, I don't shy away from that. That's the whole point. If there's something that we, you know, don't cover, people can do it with the sort of phone-in banner.
But Jerry, I would just say to you, you always have.
Going to need to make this quick, by the way, because we are
here. But you need to tell us first. We're not mind readers.
I take Jerry's point. We should find out things. I don't mind that. I'm big enough and ugly enough to handle that criticism. We should find out. We should tell people.
So one day you think, do you know what? I bet you haven't going to drop the ticket.
Do your homework.
Price.
Do your homework, Shug. That's what it's all about.
That's not homework.
Very quickly. You need to answer me more on these teaser quickly. And the time,
Gary
is,
Caldwell.
I think we're late. No. You're off in the time frame. Yeah. Quick.
Simon Donnelly.
I've left this too late. No, you've got a striker in there. He's not from too far from here. He's from Clydebank. He's a banky boy here. You
Kevin Gallagher.
Yep. Kevin Gallagher. Yeah.
And how many more have you got to get?
Don't know. Jury. Neil McCann did.
Oh my goodness. Right, you've got another. Right.
A couple. What,
initials CD.
Colin. Christian Daly.
Yes. And did you get Davy Weir?
No, but you
had him in too late. Lewis from Edinburgh won the tickets to the Celtic Experience. Well done, Lewis. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock.